And this morning I would like to share with you another important topic that I believe is the foundation of all these topics that we have been learning about. And it's going to be stretched by the word. My topic this morning is stretched by the word. God wants us to be stretched inside of us. God wants us to grow in our walk with him. And the only thing that can really make us grow in our walk with the Lord is the word of God. We can only be stretched by the word of God. Everything that we learn, the word that we learn each and every day in this place is based on the word of God. And so it is our responsibility to take time and be stretched by the word of God. The word of God is so important in the life of every believer. It's like your food. It's the food that you need. As a child of God, you've got a spirit man. There's a spirit inside of you. There's a spirit man who lives in you. And that spirit man needs to be fed the word of God. You cannot live your life without the word of God. Because it's like, have you ever seen, like, if someone has got a deficiency, like they've got a malnutrition, like kwashioka, you remember, though, like you used to learn, I think in school, like, if you're malnutrition and you've got kwashioka, it's a deficiency of protein. And in the same way, if spiritually you don't have the word of God in your life, which is your food, you become deficient of certain nutrients that you need as a child of God. So this word of God is so vital in the life of a Christian, because the word of God makes us grow. It makes us mature. As a child of God, you don't want to remain at the same level. I don't think any parent wants their child to remain as a baby. Imagine if your baby remains at 2 weeks, like how they were at 2 weeks old. How would you feel about it? In the same way, as children of God, we need to go into the word, and so that we grow and so that we mature. And the word of God is our food. If we read from the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." It means that we cannot live on pap and flace. We cannot live on the food we eat, our natural food. We actually need the word of God to survive, because we are spiritual beings. So we need to know that we need the word of God. And Jesus said this to the devil after Jesus had been tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came to Jesus and said to him, "Turn these stones into bread." And then Jesus responded that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So it's if you see this, it's important for us to get to a place where we mature in our spirit man, that we can be like Jesus, who actually depended not on natural food, but depended on spiritual food, which is the word of God. If we read again in John 6, verse 35, Jesus declared that, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So if you come to God, you will be filled up. You will be filled up spiritually. You will grow. You will never remain the same when you come and you say, "I want to learn more about God. I want to dig deeper into the word of God." Because the word of God is the one which quenches your thirst. The word of God is the one which satisfies your hunger and makes you whole. So we need to rely on the word of God completely. Yes, we can have other solutions to our problems, but the main place where we should go to get answers for anything should be the word of God. The word of God should be the source of what we need, the one which inspires us and which makes us grow in everything. If we read from the book of 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we learn that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we can learn that the word of God has got everything that we need for everything, for every aspect of our lives. It is necessary. It helps us as we teach to teach us, it helps us to rebuke us, to correct us when we are not doing the right things. So the word of God is so vital in our lives. And you cannot base the word of God on anything else. You cannot find the word of God anywhere else but in the Bible. The Bible is the source of the word of God. And as we saw, this scripture says, all scripture is God-breathed, which means the word of God comes from the Bible, and the Bible is where we find the truth, which is the word of God. So we need to make the Bible the one which we go to as our source, as our reference. Because, you know, nowadays, what happens is, like, you hear people saying, okay, I'm in the word. Yes, they will be in the word, but sometimes it's only reliant on preachers. Sometimes it's only reliant on the TV pastor or on other people's books, like, you know, Christian books, people who write books. Yes, it's good to read Christian books. It's good to get inspired by other people, but as far as possible, let's make the Bible the main source where we get the word of God. Because the people who write books, sometimes they can also make mistakes, and they can also come with their own revelation, which is not necessarily what God is saying, which is the word of God. So we need to be careful that we stick to the word of God, which is the Bible, and make it our source. The word of God should be our source. So, since the word of God is our source, which is the Bible, we need to really interpret it correctly. So when we read scriptures, we don't just read them anyhow. We need to have the right context. So you need to know, why was this passage written, who wrote it, and what was the context, and so that you can correctly interpret the scriptures. You cannot just say, I'll read in a certain way and I'll just get my own meaning out of it. When you read the word of God, you need to interpret the scriptures in the right way, and you'll be guided in the right way. So the Bible is what the Lord is saying. So we really need to grasp that whatever is in the Bible is what the Lord is saying. Because sometimes people want to say, you know what, I don't think this scripture is relevant to me. I don't think God was really saying this to me. But we need to realize that the word of God is truth, and it is God-breathed. Every single scripture written was God-breathed. Every person who wrote the Bible, and those who actually wrote on behalf of other people, they were all inspired by the Lord. So we need to really grasp that truth, that the word of God is coming from the Bible. And one other thing we should do is, when we read the Bible, we need to make sure that our focus is on Jesus. I don't know if you know some cults or some other religions where they base their faith on the Bible, but they've taken Jesus out of it. So they will say, yes, we believe in the Bible, but they've removed everything that has to do with Jesus. So they would actually change scripture to say something different from what the word actually says. I know, like, John chapter 1 has been changed by some groups of people where it doesn't actually say it. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So people have turned around and made it not about God. So we need to have Jesus as the centrality, as the central theme as we study the word of God. So even if you are studying a passage in the Old Testament, what you would say to yourself is this, is like, this passage is in the Old Testament. Would Jesus do something like this? What would Jesus do? And what would Jesus say? And would this passage relate to what Jesus would do? And then that's how you would correctly interpret that scripture. So we need to always have the centrality of Jesus as the main theme in the Word of God. We need to realize that Jesus, if you read in John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 4, it says, in the beginning the word already existed. The word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. If you read John 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So when Jesus came, he came, Jesus is the Word, and the Word came and he made his dwelling among us. So we need to realize this truth, that Jesus is God's final Word. Jesus is the clearest revelation of God. Therefore, Jesus' teaching, life and teachings, his words and works are very important. We need to keep the teachings of Jesus so dear and so close to our hearts, because that is what we believe in. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much as superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." So we can see here that the Lord has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son coming, Jesus coming and dying on the cross for us. In the past, in the Old Testament, as you can see, the Lord used to speak through prophets. But when Jesus came, we saw Jesus became the clearest revelation of God. So Jesus is the Word of God. So when we talk about learning about God's Word, we need to realize that when we come to church, coming to church cannot be the only place we learn about God and his word. Because coming to church, we just spend about 1.5 hours on a Sunday, and to know someone better, you don't just spend a few minutes with them or a few hours. You need to spend considerable time with them. So to learn about God, we need to dig deeper. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Because Sunday is like a pep talk. You know, when you're playing like sport, like soccer or rugby, some of you, I know you're sports fans. And so, you know, when the coach at halftime comes and he encourages his players and says, you know, you can do better, or you need to change the strategy and all that. That is the same thing like coming to church. When we come to church, it's just encouraging each other to say, let's keep on holding to the faith. Let's keep on pressing on. So we cannot learn more about God and his word on a Sunday service only. So it means we really need to dig deeper. We need to actually have a plan of learning more about God. A personal plan that we have to say, you know what, this is my action plan for learning more about God. The Word of God is not for sale. It's not for sale, and it's for free. And because it's for free, it's important for us to actually take advantage of that and say, you know what, this is for free and this is mine. I've got all this. I should take what is mine and I should actually use it for my benefit. So it's important for us to actually have a desire, a craving for the Word of God, to really say, you know what, I want to really know about God. I want to know more about God. We need this Word because it nourishes us. We need to have an appetite for it. I know some of us like meat. Okay, I like meat, for example. I like sometimes eating cake. Eating all those nice things. So in the same way, we should actually have a desire to know God more, to have a craving. I don't know any baby who doesn't like milk. Okay, my kids loved milk. And my son actually, you know, when I stopped breastfeeding, he was like, he still wanted to have that milk. And so like, in the same way, that is how we should crave for the Word of God. We should have a desire to crave for the Word of God. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk of the word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation." So you need to ask God, you need to actually cry and say, Lord, I really need to have this desire to crave for spiritual milk. Because the only way you can grow as a Christian, the only way you can mature is by actually feeding on the Word of God. Maturity only comes by studying the Word of God. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You will see that as you continue to crave for God, as you continue to crave for the Word of God, your hunger and thirst will be filled. And you will grow in righteousness. You will grow in the knowledge of God. Isaiah 55 verse 1 to 2 says, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. So why do we spend time with other things that are not more beneficial? The Word of God is for free. The Word of God is so rich. And when it fills us up, we are blessed. So we should cry out and say, Lord, help me. Help me to crave for that, to have a desire to know you, to have a desire to grow, to be satisfied in you. Maturity can only come through study of the Word of God. I don't know how I can emphasize this. Like, you cannot expect your child to grow if they don't eat food. So your child will start with drinking milk only, and then over time they start eating like solids. You say, now my child is on solids, and then they start growing. And you will see that a child who's 5 years old maybe, and a child who's 12 years old, the place that you dish out are quite different, because they want more. And it's the same with the Word of God. As you grow in your knowledge of God, as you crave more for God, you start by having milk. So it's like baby steps. You start by wanting maybe just reading a little bit, but as you desire and you hunger for more, there's a need for you to go to the next level, to know more about God. And then you start craving to know more about God. So as a Christian, maybe you start up out as a baby. You start out learning about foundations. And then after that, you start learning about other topics, deeper topics in the Lord. And so that is how we should look at it and view the study of the Word. Hebrews 5 verse 12 to 14 tells us that, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who only partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So the word of God, you can see, it actually trains you. As you dig deeper into the word of God, your senses start being opened, your spiritual senses. You start seeing and discerning and saying, you know what, this is wrong and this is right. So that is why we need to actually have a desire, have a craving to go deeper. Because as we go deeper, things will be revealed to us. Things we need to let go of will be revealed to us. And we will grow in maturity. And the Lord wants us to grow in maturity because he wants us also to serve him. We are called to serve God. We are called to minister to other people. And if we are to reach out to other people, we can also not be at infants. We can also not just be babies. But we need to actually grow and become mature so that we are able to minister to other people, so that we are able to reach out to other people with the word of God. Amen. The word of God is so important in the life of a believer. I will say this time and time again. The word of God is so important in your life. You cannot do with the word of without the word of God. If you want to go to your next level, you need to dig deeper in the word of God. The word of God is so important. It's like a hammer. What a hammer does, the function of a hammer is to pound on things, or like to put nails somewhere. You pound with a hammer to get things through. So the word of God is like a hammer. It's there to break your heart, to soften your heart. Because our hearts, we know we are not born righteous. We are born as sinners. But the word of God, when it comes in our lives, it breaks and softens our hearts. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. So the word of God, when it comes in our lives, one of its functions is to soften us. One of its functions is to make us soften so that we are able to do what we are called to do by God. It calls us, the word of God makes us be free of bitterness, of unforgiveness. Because it's not easy on your own to make a decision to say, you know what, I forgive you. But when you hear the word of God, it softens your heart. It softens your heart so that you actually change. So for example, maybe you are dealing with unforgiveness and the word of God will come to you and it says in scripture, in Luke 6, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. So as the word comes in your heart, into your life, you feel that, okay, I need to forgive. Because if I forgive, then I will be forgiven. So the word is there to soften our hearts. Even maybe you are bitter because the Lord hasn't healed you. Maybe you have been sick for a number of years. But when the word comes and he says, by his stripes I'm healed, it softens your heart to believe again that God can heal my heart. Because when we go through life, things can harden our hearts. Life situations can harden our hearts. But the word of God is there to actually soften our hearts so that we can go forward with our lives, so that we can become what God wants us to be. The other thing about the word of God is like, God's word is like a fire. So if you really want to know, what does a fire do? A fire burns. It burns things away. The word of God is quick and piercing. You know a fire sometimes, a veiled fire, it goes so fast, it goes so quick. I think you remember the fires in the garden route last year. It was so quick, and it like burnt everything. It was so fast. And that's the way the word of God is like. The word of God consumes and it gets rid of anything that is not of God in our lives. So maybe we are living in sin. The word of God comes and it actually convicts us that this is wrong. You're doing something that is not of the word of God. And when you know that, you are enlightened and it burns away everything that is not of God. If there's deceit in our hearts, the word of God opens that up to say, your heart is deceived. Your heart is not in the right standing with God. And as it does that, it burns. It brings revelation. You might be lying. You might be stealing. When the word of God comes, it convicts you. And it burns away everything. So the word of God is so powerful. The word of God, we can use it to enlighten us, to make us know what to say. Is what I'm doing right or is what I'm doing wrong in the sight of God? Another thing about the word of God is it's like a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God is alive and active. Some versions of the Bible say the word of God is quick. This shows that the word has got power. You see like a river. You see like a powerful river. The water goes very fast. It's living. It's not stagnant. The water is not stagnant. The water is on the move. And that is the word of God. It's active. It's powerful. It's continuously at work. So if you apply the word of God in your life, if you take the word, if you take scripture in your life, it works. So when you say, okay, I'm believing that God is my healer. You take that word, you take God's word, it says, by 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. When you believe that, the word of God is actually working in your life. You might not see the result in the physical, but already the word of God is at work. It's doing something powerful within you. And the other thing is the word is actually changing your mindset. Before you maybe see yourself physically healed, the word of God is changing your mindset. You are seeing yourself in a new way, that you already see yourself healed. Before you see it in the natural, you have changed your mindset. So that is how powerful the word of God is. If we dissect the scripture further, it says the word of God is sharper, which means the word of God cuts almost like in a single stroke. This is like a double-edged sword. A double-edged sword is so sharp. So the word of God is like when you just hit something at once. You don't have to do it twice because of the sharpness of it. You see, it's like when you cut meat with a blunt knife. You see, it takes time, eh? But let's say your knife is not blunt. It's so sharp. You just cut it once and it almost cuts your fingers off. So that's the same way with the word of God. It's so sharp. It just blows out things just there and there, once and for all. The word of God is like a double-edged sword. It's almost like it has got two edges. When we say a double-edged sword, it's got two edges, which is also showing that it's also very sharp. It's like the double mouth of a river. It is able to penetrate deep inside. The word of God goes deep to your core. If you take the word of God, if you meditate on the word of God, it goes deep inside of you. Have you ever heard people saying, you know, I woke up and the word of, and I was maybe having a bad dream and I was praying, I was declaring Psalms 91 over my life. That is how it goes. It goes deep inside of you. If you take the word of God, it goes deep, deep, deep down. And it is able to devour anything. It destroys anything that is not supposed to be there. The word of God penetrates. The word of God goes through and it pierces. It goes far down into your heart. So you have heard people saying, I've internalized the word. And you can see that this person has internalized the word. Because when they speak out, the word of God comes out. The word tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is inside of you comes out. What is inside of you comes out when there's pressure on you. When you're going through a tough time, when you've got the word of God inside of you, it comes out. So it goes down and it changes you. It changes your heart. I think last week we were hearing about stretch your heart. So when you apply the word of God, it goes down, it changes your heart. The word of God changes your mindset. You start seeing yourself in a different light. It judges, it discerns. The word of God discerns. It says, what are you thinking? What is your attitude? What are you feeling? What are your emotions? So sometimes you go to the word of God, maybe you're not in the right emotional state, and the word of God will reveal that your heart is broken. I'm in a broken state. And that is what the word of God does. It reveals the condition of your heart. It reveals what you're thinking of. If your mindset is bad, it actually reveals to you. Because the word, you might go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, which says, whatever is lovely, whatever is pure, think on these things. And you ask yourself, am I really thinking about what is pure? Am I really thinking on what is right? So that is what the word of God does. It reveals our attitudes. It reveals our emotional state. It reveals what we are thinking of and what our actions are. So the word of God is there to convict us and separate us from wrong thinking and attitudes and bring us into a place of victory. Again, I want to emphasize this, that all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness. We need the word of God to rebuke us. You cannot just want the word of God to be so nice to you when you are doing the right thing. The word of God should rebuke you. The word of God should teach you, okay, how should I live my life? How should I raise up my children? The word of God should train you, for train you for service. Maybe God has called you as a teacher of the word. Maybe God has called you as a worshiper. So the word of God is there to train you up so that you are able to fulfill what God has called you to do. You cannot just read the word of God and leave it there. If you want the word of God to really stretch you, you need to be a doer of the word. So what you need to do is to say, you know what? I've read the word. How can I really apply it in my life? You need to really ask yourself questions to say, this, what the word is saying, what am I required to do? By what is this word requiring me to do? So we cannot just listen to the word. We cannot just come to church, hear the word, and do nothing about it. We cannot do Bible studies at home and just read through it and not do anything about it. James 1 verse 23 to 25 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So if you want the word to change it, you need to start applying the word. So sometimes it's important to say, you know, this week I've read maybe the book of Acts, for example. What is the book of Acts teaching me? Maybe the book of Acts is teaching me I've learned about hearing God in different ways. So this week, what am I going to do? I'm going to be in a position of saying, Lord, I want to hear more of you. Speak to me, and as you speak to me, I will hear you. So that is how we grow ourselves in our faith. When we actually take the word of God, and we actually start doing what the word says, and start saying, okay, I see Paul, God spoke to him in this way. Maybe the Holy Spirit whispered into him, in his heart, he felt something. Maybe this week I should really pay attention to say, what is God really saying? What are the prophetic impressions that he's putting upon my heart? Or maybe believing God to say, you know what, Lord, I want to actually also see those visions, to dream dreams, and to actually pray and say, Lord, please help me. I want to dream. I want to see those visions. And that way, that is how you actually grow in your faith and as you apply the word of God. Another quality of the word of God is the word of God is a lamp. Psalms 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So the word of God helps us in our decision making. As children of God, we rely on the word of God to make our decisions. We just don't make decisions based on what we feel, but we actually go to the word as well and we ask for direction. It might be when you are trying to marry, when you want to marry someone, for example, that is a life-changing decision and you need to go to the word of God. And the word of God will tell you that if you are looking for someone to marry, to tell you that do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. So already you know that when I'm making a decision to marry someone, I need to make sure that they know the Lord. They are a believer in the Lord. So that is how the word of God guides us. Or every day, the word of God is our daily bread. Matthew 6 verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread. So you might be making decisions every day, which you might think, you know, this is a small decision. But still you need the guidance of God to say, the decision I'm making, does it align to God's word? It's like making a decision, like bribing someone. Maybe someone wants, you're driving, you're speeding, and then you meet the traffic cops, and you have to make a decision to say, okay, should I give this traffic cop a bribe? What does the word of God say? Does the word of God say you can give a bribe, or you say you cannot give a bribe? So you need to actually use the word of God daily in whatever you do. Maybe it's to do with honesty. What does the word of God say about honesty? So you need to use the word of God every day in your life. So the word of God is there to give us direction and to guide us. Proverbs 6, verse 22, verse 23 says, when you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp. This teaching is a light. And correction and instruction are the way of life. So the word of God is there to as light. The word of God gives correction. The word of God instructs us. And it leads us. Daily, the word of God leads us. In that board meeting, when you need to make a decision, is this a godly decision or not? Maybe you are trying to get, you know, those, when also the big companies were getting into these collusions and they were trying to get deals and they pay money to other people, they bribe other people. And you're sitting in that meeting. Are you going to agree to that? Or are you going to stand with the word of God to say, you know, that is not ethical. That is not what God says. And I'm not going to stand with that. Or you're stealing from your company. Maybe you're saying, okay, it doesn't matter. There are so many pens in this office. I'm just going to take all of them and give my kids. I don't have to buy stationery for my kids at home. It might seem like a small thing, but that is where we apply the word of God to say, is this really what God would want me to do or not? The word of God gives life. So sometimes we feel helpless. The situation is bad. We are going through a tough time. But the word of God is there to give us life. John 6, verse 63 says, the spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the spirit and life. So the word of God is full of life. So when we need to find life, when we need to be encouraged, the word of God is there to encourage us. The word of God is there to fill us up and to give us life. The word of God also exposes sin in our lives. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So the word of God judges us. It judges the thoughts, what we are thinking about, and it judges our attitudes. So it exposes sin in our lives, and it helps us to make right where we are not living right. So then one can ask and say, you know what, I've heard all this. So practically, what should I be doing in order for me to actually grow, in order for me to read the word of God? A believer, a Christian should read the word of God daily. Just as you eat daily. Some of us like even eating 6 to 8 meals a day. Some of us even more, maybe 10. But just as we like eating, like our natural food, that is what we should do. We need to eat our spiritual food every day. Matthew 6, verse 11 says, give us today our daily bread, which means we need the word of God every day. We need to replenish ourselves with the word of God every day. Joshua 1, verse 8 says, meditate on the word of God day and night, which means when we read the word, afterwards, it should be a process of meditating on the word, where we think through the word. And this can only happen when we have the word of God every day, when we eat our spiritual food every day. Otherwise, we'll become malnutritioned. As I said earlier on, you get these nutritional deficiencies like kwashioka because you are not feeding yourself every day. Your spirit man is not eating every day. Would you like your baby to stay 2 days without drinking any milk? No, I don't think so. So in the same way, we should ask ourselves and say, if I'm not actually feeding on the word, what is actually happening to my spirit? What is actually happening to my spirit man? So since it's important for a believer to read the word every day, we need to have a sustainable culture and habit of reading the word of God. You need to have something that works for you, that you can fit into your lifestyle, that is sustainable. Because sometimes what we do when we hear such a message, we're like, yeah, I'm going to change things in my life. And then you start doing things that don't actually work for you. For example, I will use my own example. I'm not really a night owl, as you can say. I'm a morning person. So if you were to tell me that I should read the word of God at 10 o'clock at night, it actually doesn't work for me because I'll just be falling asleep. And I'll be lying to myself that I'm actually like studying and getting something from the Word of God. So as an individual, you need to make sure that you choose a time that works for you, and that where you're able to concentrate, where you are at your best. Because when you're reading the Word, you don't want it to be a time where it's like leftovers. The time you are just saying, you know what, this is my free time and I'm tired and okay, I can just slot in the Word. It should be a time where you are more alert because you want to get the most out of the Word of God. So make it your resolution to say, going out of this place, I'm going to find a time that works for me, that I won't be disturbed. And also find a place where you're not disturbed. Or maybe the TV is on and you can hear what's going on. Or cell phones, your cell phone is on and people are phoning you and you're so easily distracted. So it's also a place where your kids cannot just come and say, "Mommy, I want this," or whatever. So just try and get a time and a place where you know you will be effective as you study the Word. So when you study the Word, it's important that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you as you study the Word of God. So we don't just read the Word just to say, okay, I just go and just open my Bible and just start reading. You need to actually pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, because the Holy Spirit is there to help us. The Holy Spirit is there to assist us. So you can pray and say, "Holy Spirit, I welcome you into this place. I invite you. Come and help me. Give me revelation and understanding so that I'm able to understand what the Word is saying in my life." So when we read the Word of God, we need to realize that it should just not be done because it's a routine. You just do it because you have to do it every day at 4 o'clock. But you need to know that it's supposed to be about a personal relationship with God, where you are trying to develop your relationship with God so that it's more solid. So that is why it's important that our Bible reading is actually Spirit-led. We are led by the Spirit of God as we read the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 to 12 says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us." So we can see when we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand what God has freely given us through His Word. We start understanding, oh, okay, this is what God means in His Word, and I can actually claim it and take it to be a part of me because the Word of God is saying it in my life. Amen. So there are different ways of studying the Bible. So I'm just going to give you some of the ways you can study the Bible. But there are actually, if you go out there are different ways that you can actually study the Bible. So some people like to study the Bible. You say you do a study from the Old Testament. So you can say, okay, I want to read the book of Genesis, for example. And then you can also then say, okay, in the New Testament, I want to read the book of Matthew. So you might actually say, okay, for this time, I'm going to be reading the Old Testament. And then I'm going to go through Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, all those books. Or I'm going to read the New Testament. Maybe I'll start with the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for example. So that is how you can study the Word. And you can also, some people prefer to say, okay, every day I'm going to read a passage from the New Testament and a passage from the Old Testament. So some people will say, okay, I'll read a book, Proverbs, for example. I'll read a chapter from Proverbs every day, and then every day I'll also read a chapter maybe from Matthew. Then after a season, I change the books. I read another book, maybe Exodus, a chapter from Exodus, and then maybe another chapter from John, for example. So every day you'll be reading a portion from the Old Testament and from the New Testament. And then there's also another way you can do it, you know, where you can buy a devotional in like Christian bookshops, like Camp Books or somewhere. And then you can actually like use the devotional to read through it every day to say, okay, what are the chapters they are saying we are reading today? And you actually follow that. There are also some online, you know, you can get like a Bible study where they say go through the Bible through one year, and they've got a plan where you read maybe 4 chapters a day or something. Then there's topical studies where you say, you know what, I want to study on faith. In this season, I want to study on faith. So you can use, like if you've got a good study Bible, at the back it will have a concordance where it lists down different subjects of study. And then under those different subjects, it will have verses. So you can use those verses. You can do a study, you use all the verses in your concordance, and you can actually like do a study on faith or on healing. So you get all the verses on healing or the verses on faith, and you do that. Another way we need to read the Bible as well is using scriptures from the taught word of God in church. So you take the scriptures that you have learned every week, you go home, you meditate on them, you read them, and you internalize them. So that's another way that you can study the Bible. So you need to also ask yourself questions as you read the Bible. So that you are able to internalize what you read. So, for example, you need to say, okay, I'm reading maybe a chapter in Acts, for example. And you say, who wrote this passage? What is the message of this passage? When was it written? So the context, maybe it was written in Jerusalem or in Galilee or wherever it was written. So you ask yourself, why was it written? Why was that passage actually written? How does it relate to the passages before or after? So the chapters before and after it, how is it relating? And how can I actually apply the message in my life? So how is this message relevant in my life? So maybe it's talking about love. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And it's saying, talking about love. And then you say, okay, in my life, what do I need to do? Maybe I need to love my wife more. I need to love the people of God more. What exactly should I do? What practical thing should I do based on what I've read in the Word? So when you read the Word of God, it's actually important for you to have an open mind to learn. Because what happens is, as you keep on going deeper into the Word, you start seeing things that you've never known before. You start getting revelation. And sometimes we are coming from backgrounds where we've been taught things in a certain way, where we've been taught maybe this scripture means that. But when you actually dig deeper, you actually realize, actually, this is not the correct meaning of this scripture. So we need to actually be open to change our lives, to say, I'm going to change how I think based on what I've now known from the Word of God. And as you do that, the Word of God starts changing you. Do not try to come up with revelation that is not aligned to the Word of God. Because some people, what they try to do is try bring a revelation into the Word, but it's not in context. It's not actually what the Word of God is saying. So every time we read the Word, we need to actually ask ourselves, is it really in line with what the Word of God is saying, what the Bible is saying? And it's also good for us, if we've got questions about the Word, to go to people whom we know that can actually help us to know and to interpret the scriptures. So if you can't interpret the scripture, you can actually say, okay, I'll go to my pastor, or I'll go to my go group leader or cell group leader to actually help me to understand this scripture. And by doing that, that is how you actually grow. And another thing, these days, you know, there's a lot of prophecy. People prophesy, but prophecy should be aligned to the Word of God. If a prophetic word is delivered, but it's not aligned to the Word of God, you cannot take it in. You cannot say, okay, because this word was said by a great man or a prophetic person, okay, I'm just going to take it in. We need to test the word based on the Bible, the word of God, to say, is this prophetic word in line with what the word of God is saying? And it's important for us to meditate on the word. I want to emphasize again, we need to meditate on the word of God, which means when you finish your Bible reading, you need to go about your day. Let's say you have read in the morning, meditating on the word, saying, okay, what is this word really saying? Go, like, even during the day when you are at work, maybe you are at your lunch hour doing your day-to-day activities, really saying, what does this word mean? And as you keep on doing that, the word will be revealed more and more to you. You get revelation as you dig deeper and you say, you know what, I want to understand this better and better. Because if you just take the word and you read it and then you close it, it doesn't actually change you inside. So it's crucial for you to meditate on the word, to really like meditate on it. Another thing I would want to encourage you is to memorize scripture. I remember when I was in high school, I did a year where I challenged myself. You know, where you memorize scripture every day. Like every day you're memorizing the word, like a certain verse every day or something. And like when I look back now, most of the verses that I know are from that time, because I actually internalized the word of God. And as I said earlier on, when you internalize the word of God, when you're going through a tough time, let's say you are sick, that word will come out when in those times. Maybe you are going through a tough time at work. When you internalize the word, that word is the one which comes out of you. So I would really encourage you, if you can, you can do it at your own pace, how you feel. But it's important for us to have the word inside of us, to have like words we can actually memorize and say, John 3 verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So when you are preaching to someone, when you are preaching the word to someone, you don't need to go to your Bible. You know that scripture and you can say it out and tell them exactly that God loves them. Or you are sick and you say, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. You can just say it out loud and you don't need your Bible to be near you. Or you, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So you have that word inside of you, you have internalized it. So it's important for us to make the word so real in our lives, to make the word so practical in our lives, by memorizing it, by meditating on it day and night. So I just want to encourage you to take this word that has been shared with you this morning and see how you can apply it in your life. Let it not just be a word that you hear and say, ah, you know what, it's another word. And it's baby steps. Sometimes you start small. You start where you are at. If it means you read one verse every day, you meditate on it, start there. Until you grow, you grow, you grow. As you see that you said, you start as a baby with milk, and then you go to the solids. So this is what I want to encourage you today. God has called us to be people who are filled with the word of God. It's not supposed to be for leaders only. It's not supposed to be for people who preach to us. The word of God is for you. It's for you and me, for our day-to-day living. It's there to teach us. It's there to rebuke us, to correct us, to train us. So let's take the word of God and apply it in our lives today. Amen.